When we have communion, we normally have the sermon much earlier, and so that's what we're doing now. We're coming to the preaching of God's word, so it'll be helpful for you if you turn back to Hebrews chapter 9. Hebrews chapter 9. And over our communion season, we are looking at two verses in particular, verse 27 and verse 28. There is one event in all of history that can never be repeated. That is the death of the Son of God for the forgiveness of our sins. And this event is the decisive point in all of history. It is the pivotal moment. Everything in history turns around this event. The death, the resurrection, and the ascension of Jesus Christ is the singular, most important point in history. Hebrews chapter 9 expresses this truth in this way in verse 27 and 28. Just as man is destined to die once, or appointed to die once, and after judgment, so Christ, having been offered once to bear the sins of many, will appear a second time, not to deal with sin, but to save those who are eagerly waiting for him. Or to rephrase that verse, just as we're going to die once and be judged, so Christ died once for all, to pay the price for sin. And when he returns, it won't be to save from sin, but it will be to bring in the full salvation for those who are his. The writer is saying that this moment in history, Christ dying for sin, is a pivotal moment. The death, the resurrection, and the ascension of Christ is once for all an event that cannot be repeated, and it determines our eternal destiny. This is a pivotal moment. At our pre-communion service, we consider the appointment which we all must face. We are all destined to die once. We are all destined to face judgment. These two events go hand in hand. Death and judgment are stored up for us. But in God's grace, in Jesus Christ, that eternal judgment has been taken. In Jesus Christ, there is forgiveness of sins. There is an appointment that we all must face. This morning, we're moving on in these two verses to the main point of the verses. It's not that we are appointed to face death and judgment, but the main point is that Jesus Christ has been offered once to bear the sins of many. The main point is that there is atonement for sin. A price has been paid. And so this morning we're coming to think about the atonement given for us. The death of Jesus Christ is completely effective for the saving of our souls. The atonement given for us. Let's look at verse 28 in particular. And we see, firstly, that Christ has been offered for sin. Christ has been offered for sin. We are focusing mainly in verse 28, but to understand it, we need to grasp something of the context. For those who were here at our pre-communion service on Wednesday night, I said that the argument of Hebrews chapter 9 is that the Old Testament rituals, sacrifices, the places of worship, they were just copies, shadows or symbols of what would be ultimately fulfilled in the New Testament. The Old Testament sacrifices, they were part of that old order that pointed to the greater truth, the shedding of blood, the sprinkling of blood. We're told here in chapter 9 that they are used to purify everything. We have that in verse 22. And then we're told at the end of that verse that without the shedding of blood, there is no forgiveness of sins. And so in the Old Testament, There was the need for the sacrifice. There had to be blood shed because we have disobeyed God. And because God has said that the punishment for sin is death. And so there must be death. There must be the shedding of blood. And so these sacrifices were necessary. But God in his grace gave this way of forgiveness and cleansing. A life given in the place of another. And so that's what the sacrifices were. They were pictures of God's grace. That God would provide a life in the place of another, a substitute, a perfect substitute. But of course, these Old Testament sacrifices, we're told in verse 23, they were just copies, symbols. They're not the reality, the true form, the final form of what God would do in his grace. Because there is one sacrifice that brings true cleansing from sin. There is one offering that must be made. Christ's death is far superior. There has to be an offering. There has to be one given in the place of another for forgiveness. Jesus Christ is offered as the sacrifice. In the Old Testament as well, the high priest, he entered the symbolic presence of God with the blood of a sacrificial animal. He went into the Holy of Holies, and there he sprinkled the blood before the mercy seat and the Ark of the Covenant. He had to enter into God's presence, but of course in the Old Testament, that was just a tent. That was just a golden box. They were symbols, they were copies, they were shadows of the reality. God's holy presence, the throne of God in heaven. So Jesus Christ entered in the presence of God the Father. He appeared before God the Father at his death. Here is the sacrificial lamb and the high priest. And Jesus Christ comes to the throne of God, having offered himself, having given himself as the sacrifice. It's far superior to anything in the Old Testament. They are just the shadows and the copies of the reality. Christ Jesus entered God the Father's presence. We are told here in Hebrews 9, on account of his own blood, the sacrifice for our sin. He is both the high priest and the sacrificial lamb. What does that tell us? It tells us he has been offered. He has given of himself. He has given himself willingly. And it's the gift of God, the Father, in giving the Son. Look at verse 28. So Christ, having been offered. Here we have the willing substitute, the willing sacrifice for your sin. The Son of God, the Eternal One, who's entered into the presence of God the Father on your behalf to make a payment for you, to lay down his life for you. He showed himself to be that willing sacrifice as he set his face to go to the cross, as he endured the trial, and as he remained silent. In all ways, he was obedient and willing, and he did it all for you. He has offered. He has been offered. And that's what the New Testament bears witness to. It's the central truth. It's the pivotal moment in history. Jesus Christ is the sacrifice who has been offered for our sin. As we come to the table today, that's what we're going to be remembering. As we take of the cup and as we take of the bread, We are remembering that Jesus has been offered once for all sacrifice for our sin. He's been given for us. Because without the shedding of blood, there's no forgiveness of sin. The one whose body was broken, whose blood was shed, Jesus Christ has been offered. Then secondly, we see here that he's been offered to bear sin. He has been offered to bear sin. The word to bear that we have here in verse 28, it means to take up, to carry away. And this is what Jesus Christ has done. He has taken up and he has carried away our sin as he went to the cross to be the sacrifice for our sin. This phrase, to bear the sins of many, it's a direct quotation from the suffering servant song in Isaiah 53, verse 12. We had it in our call to worship. Because he poured out his soul to death and was numbered with the transgressors, yet he bore the sin of many. And that's the glorious truth that's repeated throughout the New Testament. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 24. He himself bore our sins in his body on the tree, that we might die to sin and live to righteousness. By his wounds you have been healed. Let's put this again into context, especially in context with verse 27. When we read that we are to die once and then face judgment, we are then told that Jesus Christ has died once for our sin, so that we don't have to face the eternal judgment for our sin. Can you see here that this verse is telling us that in Christ being offered, it's been for our benefit, to carry away our sin, to remove our sin and our guilt. In Jesus Christ, we are purified, using the words of Hebrews 9. We are made clean. We're made acceptable before God the Father. Made pure. Forgiven through the one offered to carry away our sin. By his death, you have been forgiven. How often do you think about this glorious truth? He has borne our sins. He's carried all of your sin, all of your guilt to the cross. He's removed it. The offering of the sacrificial animals in the Old Testament, we're told that their blood falls short. These animals, they weren't willing sacrifices. Look at the end of verse 25 and 26. Here we're told about the high priest. He enters the holy place every year, and then we're told he does it with blood that's not his own. He comes with an unwilling sacrifice. The animal has no choice in the matter. They're just copies and symbols, and so they could never really take away sin. They weren't perfect. They were just pictures. But Christ, the willing sacrifice, his blood is effective. His death is effective. It has accomplished something so wonderful and so remarkable that we will be praising God for it for all eternity. He has carried away your sin. The willing one who became like us to die in our place. There are those who hate this truth. Some who even claim to be Christians who seek to deny this truth. They say, how could the Father ever inflict this type of pain on the Son? They speak of the cruelty of having Jesus be the sacrifice for sin. They say, how could he turn away the wrath of the Father? They deny this. But we know in looking at this that we deserve wrath and judgment. We are appointed to die. We're going to face an appointment of judgment. But in Jesus Christ, that wrath of God is turned away. He has borne our sin, our guilt. He became the curse for you. It's the central truth of Scripture. It's the pivotal moment of history. He offered himself. He has been offered to bear our sins. Here is the perfect Lamb of God who takes away your sin. Thirdly, we see here that Jesus Christ has been offered once to bear sin. He's been offered once to bear sin. This is the main argument through chapter 9 and then into chapter 10. It's the discussion that's going to dominate chapter 10. If you've time this afternoon, read through chapter 10. This is a one-time sacrifice of Jesus Christ. This is one moment in history never to be repeated. Just as it's appointed for us to die once and then judgment, so we are told Christ was offered once. Just as we have to face death but one time, so Christ only had to give himself once as the sacrifice for our sin. There's no continual sacrifice needed. Unlike the Old Testament animal sacrifices, they had to be offered every year and continually. But Jesus Christ only had to die once. Look back again at verse 25 and 26. It's the flow of the argument and the main point. The high priest had to go in every year, year after year, but Jesus Christ gave himself once. Unlike the Old Testament sacrifices, which didn't affect real change in people, or for those who offered the sacrifice, and so because of that, they had to be repeated, Christ's sacrifice was perfect, and it was complete. His blood, we are told, is sufficient for the task of removing all of your guilt, all of your shame, all of your sin. He just had to die once. In fact, not only does it just happen once, it can only happen once. When Jesus Christ died in your place on the cross, that satisfied the full wrath and anger of God towards our sin. The justice of God was poured out, and it's now complete. This is why when Jesus died on the cross, he said, "It is finished. It is done." And this is why he rose again from the dead. Because his act of dying in our place is finished and done, complete. And so he rose again, defeating sin and death and showing us that the justice of God was complete and finished. No more punishment for sin. And because there was no more punishment for sin, Jesus Christ rose again from the dead. It is finished. The debt has been paid once for all. If you're a believer this morning, you have no debt to pay before God. There's no punishment waiting for you because Jesus Christ only had to die once. He did die once. It is finished. It is complete. The true high priest has entered into the holy place with that perfect, willing, sacrificial blood that is his own once and for all. And this has glorious implications for us. Our salvation, our forgiveness of sins is complete. Christ's sacrifice was the full and final payment for sin. Often we struggle with that concept. When we fall short of God's glory, when we sin, stumble into sin, when we give in to temptation, we automatically ask ourselves, am I really forgiven? Have I been made clean? Christ has paid the price. Your sin is forgiven. Often we feel, surely there's something more I have to do. Perhaps if I'm good enough, perhaps if I earn enough favor with God, maybe if I work harder, then and maybe then God will forgive me more. Christ died once. It's complete. You are forgiven in Jesus Christ when you come in and through Jesus Christ. That doesn't mean that we then go on to want to sin. We don't then live our lives thinking it doesn't matter what we do because Christ has died once for all. Now we live as changed men and women and our sin does grieve us. But we can come before God the Father knowing our sin is forgiven because Jesus Christ died once. It is finished. This helps with our assurance of salvation. When we know our weakness, when we know our frailty, when we grieve over our sin, it's not our works that save us. And no sin is outside of Christ's payment. He died once for all, offered himself once to bear the sins of many. Isn't that a glorious truth? A wonderful truth. If you're a Christian this morning, if you're a believer, your sins are forgiven. With the certainty of how we will all face death, just as it's appointed for us to die once and then comes judgment, so Christ has been offered once to bear the sins of many. To bear your sin. And as we come to the table today, we rejoice in that truth. We acknowledge that truth. Christ died for sin. There is a payment that has been made. And if you're a believer, you can say that has been made for me. Amen.